good evening. I almost said good morning. It's not morning. Thank you guys for joining us this evening. So we're going to continue. We've been doing this study through Psalms 23, and we're actually going to finally hit the end here with verse 6. So if you have your Bibles, if you'd open up to that, to Psalms 23, we're actually going to read the whole thing here in just a second. But before we get there, has anyone ever had to make a choice before in their life? Right? Everyone does. It's part of being adult. We all have to do it. We have to make choices. This past week, I was actually at a conference for my job. Last Sunday. Was gone all week till about Thursday. And through that entire thing, I had to make a lot of choices. Most of them, actually none of them, were life or death or anything real serious. Most of them were just whether I was going to stay up and be super tired for my class the next day or if I was going to go to bed at a reasonable hour. But we all have to make decisions. They have to make choices. A lot of them can be as simple as that, whether you're going to go one way to work or the other, which way is quicker, which way to avoid traffic. Maybe it's just as simple as what you're going to have for dinner tonight. I'm having tacos after this. It's going to be awesome. Pretty excited about that. So we have to make choices. Now, unfortunately, there are times in our lives where we have to make choices that are way too hard and kind of honestly unfair for us to have to make. Sometimes those choices may be whether we're going to completely uproot our family and move somewhere else for a different job. Maybe that decision is whether you're going to, as hard as whether you're going to have to continue treatment or potentially let something run its course when it comes to illness or a loved one or something like that. But we all have to make choices. And what I'm going to argue guys tonight to you guys is that ultimately there's really only one choice that's actually important, because that one choice will affect every other choice you have to make throughout the rest of your life. It'll affect your decision-making process on where you turn to, what you look at, the factors you consider when you're making these choices. And that choice is to trust the Lord your God, to trust Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. As we read through Psalms 23, we're going to see a choice that was made by David at the end. And I'm going to explain it a little because it's not necessarily inherently obvious that he's making a choice. But as I read through, I just want you to listen to the wording through the whole thing, and we're going to really get to that choice that David has to make at the end. So we're going to start just right in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of your life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's that last portion of verse 6 that David's really making a choice. He's making a declarative statement saying he will dwell in the house of the Lord. It's a choice. And so what we need to do to understand that is we really need to understand what it means to dwell, first off. Dwelling is not just a stopping. I spent the last week in a hotel room. I was never staying there permanently. It was not my place of dwelling. I wasn't there long term. Dwelling is not as simple as just stopping by and saying hi and moving on. It is where you choose to be long term. It's where you're really choosing to kind of camp out. And David's making this declarative statement saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And what he's doing, he's making a choice to love the Lord and to follow him, to stay in his house with him. He wasn't just there to have dinner and then move on. He was there to stay with him, to follow him through everything, every decision he makes. He's there. That was his declarative statement. And so the question that becomes, David's choosing this, but why is he choosing this? Why is he choosing to follow the Lord? Now, the obvious answer is to look back the last 10 weeks of what we've been studying through Psalms 23. It's a list. It's talking of all the good things. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod comforts me, or your rod and your staff comfort me. He's giving this list of benefits. He's gonna lead you. He's gonna guide you. He's gonna be with you. He's gonna protect you. He's gonna to take away your fears so that you can live a life following Him unhindered. But what I want to talk about is another next step, kind of a little more. If Psalms 23 wasn't convincing enough for you to move in with Jesus, we're gonna give you some more background on that. And if you will, turn over to Psalms 91 for me. So, Psalms 91 is actually one of my favorite psalms. It's a very reassuring psalm. No matter what you go through in hard times, this is the psalm that I typically recommend to people to read because it's very reassuring. And so, I'm going to read it, and we're going to continue with this theme of dwelling, but I'm going to read through for you, and then we're going to kind of unpack it a little. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His wings and with His feathers, and under His wings He will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, and for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. They will tread the lion and the cobra and trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for He acknowledges my name. I will call on Him and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. And so, we see this dwelling come up twice in this passage. And again, dwelling is not a temperate thing. It is a permanent. That's where you're moving in. And so we see David making this commitment to dwell in the house of the Lord. He's making this commitment to follow Him. And the question then becomes, why? And like I said, we looked back at Psalms 23, and it gave us a lot of great answers. And now Psalms 91 is reiterating that point. It starts off with talking about rest. How many of you guys have ever been outside on a really hot day? Like this past week, I wasn't here, but I heard it hit over 100 degrees, which is just obscene. You can ask my wife, I don't like it hot. Anything like over 80 is just too warm for me. I don't even want to go outside. But when you're outside in a hot day, where do you try to typically go? To the shade, right? Maybe you're at a sports game, you might try to find a tree or something to sit under, or maybe I've seen a lot of people with like the sun umbrella hats. I kind of want one. I think they're pretty cool. My wife probably would walk on the other side of the street from me, but it's fine. It'd keep me cool because you have that shade, that rest, right? And so when you're on those hot days, this is the best feeling. When we go to the beach every year, we take two massive 10x10 tents and we set them up on the beach, and I never leave the shade. My chair moves with the shade. I don't get out of the shade. I don't really like going into the water. This past summer, I dug a hole so my son and I could play in the hole underneath the tent. That way I never went into the sun. I don't like it. I like to stay in that cool, in that rest area. And that's kind of what we see here in the start of this psalm. It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He will create that shade, that restful place for you when you dwell with Him. Then we see, as we go through, verse 2 through 13 kind of repeats itself. It's saying it in different ways, but the general theme is that He will give you refuge, so a safe place. He will give you protection. He won't let harm come to you. And that's kind of the theme we see running through all of those verses. And so we see that he gives us rest when we dwell in him. And he gives us protection when we dwell in him. And so that's just further reason as to why we should make the same choice that David does. We have this great assurance. Again, there are hard times in people's lives. I thankfully have been fortunate enough to not have to really make any real hard decisions yet in my life. But I know some of you probably have. Many of you probably have had to make those hard decisions. And having this assurance, having this knowledge that God is with you through all of your hard times, is just, I find it a very, very calming thing in those times. Can we go to the next slide, please? Cool. So the next question is then, how do we make this decision? How do we decide that we are going to move in, become roommates with David, with Jesus? We're going to live with him. We're going to follow him in this manner. And we find that at the end of Psalm 91. It says, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in the trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." It answers for us right there what we have to do. And the first thing is, right in verse 14, it says, "Because he loves me." We have to come to the point where we realize that we need Jesus and we have to love him. He loves you. That's why he did what he did. He died on the cross. He was dead for 3 days. He was buried, came back to life, and it was all for you. He knew your name before you were born, and everything he did was to save you because he loved you. And so we have to come to the decision and that choice where we then reciprocate that love. We love him enough that we want to be with him. We want to dwell in his life. The next thing that it says is "I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name." We can't just say we're a Christian. I know a lot of people who, "Oh, I'm a Christian," but they might show up at Christmas and maybe Easter occasionally, sometimes. They think they know the right part, but they aren't acknowledging him. They aren't having this deep relationship with him. And that's what it is. You can't have a relationship with somebody without ever talking to them. It doesn't work. I have quite a few friends that I graduated with, and we talked all the time when we were in high school, and I haven't talked to them since I graduated. And it's really getting to the point where it's kind of difficult to call them friends because I haven't talked to them. I don't know what they're doing. And that's partially on me, and that's partially on them, but we can't have a relationship if we don't talk. And the same thing is with God. We can't have a relationship with him if we don't talk to him. And we do that through prayer, through reading our word, through understanding his person, and then we can have that greater relationship with him. And that's part of what acknowledging him is. We have to acknowledge that he is the Lord, that he died for us. He came to this earth, lived a perfect life, was buried and resurrected, and it was all for you. And then when you acknowledge that and you can have that relationship, it takes everything that much further. That's what helps your decisions. If you have a true relationship and you know the person of God, then in those hard times, in those decisions you have to make, his light will come through and he will help you in those decisions. But you need him and have a relationship with him to know him, to be able to know what he wants you to do in those hard times. The last thing, and it's actually not up on the screen, I missed a point and I'm sorry for that. But it says, "He will call on me and I will answer him." The next thing is, we have to ask. God wants this relationship with us. He wants us to ask him for things. And so when you have this hard time, when you have these decisions, these choices you have to make, if you've made that choice to follow him and dwell in him, he wants you to ask what to do. He wants that relationship with you. He wants to be able to grow with you. And so asking him those questions, asking him to help you, he's going to answer that call. And in conclusion, we're going to wrap it up. And if you do those things, God kind of, it almost seems a little conditional here. He says, if you dwell in me, if you love me, if you acknowledge my name, if you call on me, then I will answer him. I will be with him in the trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And so it starts with that choice, that choice that David made to say, I love the Lord, I will follow him with all that I am, and I will dwell in him. In Psalms 91, whoever dwells in me, whoever calls on me, all the way through, God wants this relationship. He wants us to come to him. He wants to be part of our lives. And so if you do that, you get those assurances. He's going to lead you by still waters. He's going to provide for you what you need. He's going to help you with your fear when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to protect you and give you rest. And so, in just last thing here is if you've made that decision, that's awesome. That's great. Thank you. And God loves you and he wants to continue that relationship and grow in that relationship and doing things like coming to church on Saturday nights and joining Bible studies and reading your Bible. And all those things are going to help grow in that relationship. And that is what I pray for you, is that you will grow in those relationships. And if you haven't made that decision, if you haven't come to the point where you're ready to dwell with Christ, to accept him as your Savior, I would pray that you would think long and hard and come to that decision, because after the last 10 weeks, we've seen so many things that really are just, there are amazing benefits from knowing him. And if you have a friend that can do that kind of stuff for you, I don't know why you wouldn't want to be friends with them. And so that is my prayer for you, is that you would just come to that conclusion and make that choice. And I'm going to close this out in prayer. Jeff and Eileen are going to come back up and lead us in some more worship. So just bow your heads with me. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you want to be our friend. I thank you that we have that choice to come to you, to love you, to know you and grow in a relationship with you. And I pray for anyone in this room that's made that decision and they've joined the family and they grow in you, Lord. And anyone who hasn't made that decision yet, Lord, I pray that you are working on their heart so that they one day can come and experience the grace that you have for us, the protection you have for us, the rest you have for us. In your name I pray. Amen.